Before we get started, if you want, you can turn your Bibles to Proverbs 6. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 11. If you have an iPhone or any other smartphone, a tablet, Proverbs 6 this morning. Before we get started, I want to preface the message with just a couple of things, okay? And I know most of us probably know this, but I don't want you to think that the things we're going to talk about, that it is works-based that gets us to heaven. Because in all honesty, we're going to be looking at some ants today. And so I'm not an entomologist, okay? That's the study of insects. But we're going to kind of parallel this passage in what God talks to us about ants. Some of you guys are looking at your watches already. And parallel that with the Christian life, the church. Okay, so a lot of it may seem works-based as I go through, but at the end, you'll kind of see how it plays together. So I don't want you to think that, because it's all about what? What's the one thing that gets us to heaven? Which it takes, on our part, faith. Okay, so I just want to preface this morning with that. Okay, so think with me for just a second. About God's amazing creation. All throughout the Bible, God uses the animal and the insect kingdom to speak to man. He uses an ox and the donkey in Isaiah 1. He uses a rooster in Matthew 26. He uses another donkey in Numbers 22 to speak to Balaam. And here in Proverbs chapter 6, God uses a little ant, and he is speaking to the sluggard, which refers to one who is lazy. I'm hurting me. I think I'm going to pass out from the heat. The water was hot, wasn't it? Yeah. Getting some feedback that's really killing my ear. This refers to one who is lazy, idle, careless, sticks to nothing. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I fit in that category all the time. Sometimes I'm so careless in my walk. Sometimes I'm really lazy in my walk, and sometimes I just want to do nothing. How about you? Does anybody fit in that category this morning? Okay, I'm glad everybody's got it together besides me. I am on staff, so pray for me, okay? But this morning, listen, I would like for us to look into this passage for a few minutes, because I believe that there's a lot as Christians that we can learn from this little bitty ant. What we learn from these tiny creatures can help us become better Christians, and it can really help our church become more effective in the cause of Christ. But before we begin, let me say that the ant is probably one of the most successful of all social insects. They're smart, and they work like horses. Everybody tracking with me with ants? You guys ever seen? Everybody's seen an ant here, right? Okay. I just want to make sure. Just a few quick statistics. I promise I won't go more than till 1 o'clock today, okay? There are over 12,000 different known species of ants all over the world. Most ants can lift up to 20 times their own body weight. A single colony of ants can move up to 20 pounds of material per day. You know, ants don't have ears to hear. Did you know that? What they do is they hear by feeling the vibrations of the ground under their feet. That's how they hear. Ants can both bite and they can sting. Army ants in Africa can have as many as 12 million ants in a single colony. Ants can run up to 3 seconds, 3 inches per second. That's about how fast I am. And ants can travel up to 2 miles in a day. And listen, and some of you know that fire ants and other ants, listen, when ants fight and they fight other animals or other insects, they do take on some animals, and we'll see that in a little bit. I promise you, you're going to learn more about ants today than what you probably want to. Please humor me today, okay? But ants fight to the death. When they fight, it is usually to the death. With these few thoughts in mind, let's look at some more facts about the little ant. And these little creatures, again, have a lot to teach us about doing the Lord's business. Look, God speaks of them in the Scriptures, okay? We're going to dig into this passage. Let me read in Proverbs 6 real quick. Verses 6 through 11. The Word of God says this: go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its foods during harvest. How long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. Allow me to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, God. I thank you again for John and Betty and their step of faith to publicly profess they're following you. And God, I pray for our congregation now. I pray for those in here that have been members for a long, long time and that have served so many hours in so many different places in our church. God, I pray for those that may be on the fence as far as serving, God. I pray today that you'll speak to us through the ant. But most importantly, speak to us through your word. God, show us what it means to be active for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the first thing we're going to look at this morning is kind of the work of the ant and the work of the church. You know, the ant's work is a partnership. They have a partnership with one another. They work in love. Okay, and I think the church should show that same love to one another. Sometimes it's hard for all of us to get along, but we should still work in love, okay? Listen to what John 13:35 says. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. They're also helpful. Ants carry each other's burdens. Sometimes they get in trouble and they have to help out their injured neighbors, or maybe they have to rescue those who have been buried or fallen into a pit. If you can imagine, think of the life of an ant. That's a struggle. Where are you going to go that you're not the smallest thing around? Honestly, think about that. So they get in trouble all the time. They really live a life of burden if you look at it. And I believe that the church is the same way. We listen to Galatians 6:2. We should carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. But you know what they do? Ants operate in harmony. You know, if you have one ant, it's probably pretty weak. But if there's many ants together, and we'll look at an illustration about this in a little bit, many ants together can get a lot accomplished. Each of them have a job, and there's not one job that an ant does that's more important than the other. And it's the same in the church. We're all members of one body. I want you to read with me real quick. This is kind of a lengthy passage, but I really feel like this will kind of help set things up today. Excuse me. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to scoot over there, beginning in verse 12, this is what it talks about as far as unity and diversity in the body of Christ. Keeping in mind, we're all members, right? We're all members of one body. The scriptures say this: for as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Verse 18, but now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, all the more those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. That's a great picture of team. You know, this thing called life, you guys, listen, this thing called life is not about me and it's not about you. It's about us together moving forward and following hard after Jesus Christ. And look, for years, the church has been in conflict. For years, there's been people on this side of the fence and that side of the fence about certain issues in church. And listen, I'm not necessarily talking about this church, but I'll be honest, if the shoe fits, wear it, okay? But you have to think about this with me. We are one body, okay? It's not about me. It's not about you in particular. It's about us moving together. There is power in unity. The driver ant is a perfect example. You knew ants were coming in. Everybody's like, well, when's he going to talk about the ants? The driver ant. Listen to this. When they're on the move, look out. Look out. They can travel in packs of millions. Lions and elephants and poisonous snakes, all step aside and let these little guys through. Entire villages are known to move out of the path of these ants. Humans and animals alike don't stand a chance against these feared little ants. Think about that. The power of the early church arose out of their unity. If the church united and they put away, if we united and put away our petty differences and disagreements and stood together in the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, hell would tremble in our presence. So listen, I just want to encourage you, church family. I love you. Our staff loves you. There's a lot of love in this room. But when it comes to the little things, we need to let God work out those details. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs to see the empty cross of Christ in our lives, together as one, unity. Ants also work toward a common goal. Most of the time, an ant's responsibility is to provide for the colony, and especially the queen. The ant's work is very productive, and you know what? They do it with an all-volunteer service. No guide, yet each ant works. Look at verse 7 back in Proverbs 6. The scriptures tell us, without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest, verses 7 and 8. So no guide, yet each ant works. Thousands of ants may dwell in one ant colony, but every one of them pulls his own weight. They work. Soldier ants. You know what soldier ants do? Is anybody familiar with soldier ants? What they do is they'll go around the colony. If there's ants not doing what they're supposed to do, the soldier ants will kill them. They'll kill those ants. Can you imagine our staff walking around with this big hammer? You better get to work. It's not how we roll. But listen, we do have guides. We have a pastor who's on vacation right now. Just to let you visitors know, I'm not the actual guy that speaks every week, so come back, okay? But listen, we have pastors and we have staff. Some of you guys just got finished sitting under your small group leader's tutelage and teaching. So we have small group leaders. You know, we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We have guides. We have everything necessary to get the job done for Jesus. But sadly, some of us refuse to labor. You know, what ants do is they labor according to their ability. Again, each of them have a specific job. There's storekeepers and engineers, there's nurses, there's farmers, there's laborers. You know, one of the most interesting ants that I came across, and listen, this a lot of this today is not original by me. I'm not some ant doctor, okay? I had to do some research on this stuff, but one of the most interesting ants that I found was called the honeypot ant. Does anybody know about the honeypot ant? Carter, attaboy. Listen, what the honeypot ant does is that they use their own body as like a living storage unit. So they go around and they take in this food, they take in this liquid, and when their little buddies are running out of food and food is scarce in their colony, they let everyone else feed on them. And they feed on that stored food that this honeypot ant has taken in. It's awesome. These little guys are a blessing to all. Just as specific ants have specific jobs, the Lord has been blessed by to gift different people in different ways. every job, church, in our congregation and in what we do is important. Every job in the church is important. You are important to God's work and to the work of this church. And listen, He will use you according to your ability. As you grow, your responsibility will grow. And God has gifted and equipped each and every one of us for some type of work in the body of Christ. Go back to that passage in 1 Corinthians 12 and study that passage. All of us are gifted in some way. Okay? There's not an ant on the planet that can build a skyscraper. There's not an ant on the planet that can build a skyscraper. But you know what? They can build ant hills. And that is what the Lord designed them to do. All God asks for us is that we use our abilities. And you know what the greatest ability that you have is? Availability. Make yourself available to God. And I promise, if you do that, if you take that step of faith and tell God, I do have the time, I do have the resources, and you take that step of faith and walk through that threshold of being taken out of your comfort zone, because that's probably why a lot of us don't serve, because we don't want to be uncomfortable, I promise you, if you do that, God will use you in a mighty way. I better take a drink of water. I love you, right? Men, I need to talk to you for a second. I'm about to go from preaching to meddling. You know what I found when I studied ants? I've studied ants. I study them so much, I woke up in the middle of the night just... I think that was the chiggers, though. I found out that there are more female ants than male ants that work in the ant world, that work in the colonies. More female ants than male ants. Listen, the same is true in the church. Take away our women, and we would be in deep trouble. So I want to challenge men. Step up to the plate and take a swing for Jesus. Just try it. Just try it. We need more men. There's small groups that need men. There's some of our youth that need men to pour into their lives. There's a men's ministry that we need to get active. And it's, again, it's awesome. We can come together and break bread and eat donuts and get fat and go play golf and go shoot skeet. But listen, we need to be out there, men. We need to take what we're learning here and pour that into our men out there. We need more men to take a swing for Jesus. Not only do ants labor to their own ability, they also work continually. They work all day with no pay, no promotion, no thanks, no pats on the back, absolutely no reward, yet they work. You know, ants never get mad and quit. They never go on strike. They just work. Believers ought to do work in the same manner. Work in the church can be a thankless job. Believe you me, staff understands that. But is that really why we serve the Lord? To get the attention? To get a pat on the back? To get a attaboy and a thank you? No. Listen, if you destroy an anthill, and hopefully most of you have probably done that, if you're in here and you're a boy, I guess you should get your parents approval of this, but if you're a boy, go knock down an anthill. Make sure it's not fire ants, though. But just go do it. It's fun. And watch all the ants scatter, okay? If you knock an anthill down with your foot, they immediately set up rebuilding it. Things can get tough on a spiritual front in the church. We understand that. Warfare is always present. But don't quit. Don't ever give up. Look, if it was easy, there'd be a lot more people doing it. We could have thousands of people in here instead of a few hundred. Working in the church, walking alongside people that need you, and you loving on people that are unlovable, people that don't look like you and sound like you. It's hard, but we've got to do it. We've got to do it. One of the lessons that we can take from this is the fact that there's plenty to do and not enough workers. I found this illustration about an old farmer. Listen to this. There was an old farmer who was sitting on a stump at the edge of his field, and a tourist saw him, and he stopped to speak to him. "How are things going?" asked the tourist. "Oh, tolerable," answered the farmer. "I had some trees to cut down, but a cyclone came along and saved me the trouble." "That's amazing," said the tourist. "Yes, the lightning set fire to the pile of trees and saved me the trouble of burning them up too." "Wonderful," exclaimed the tourist. And then he asked the farmer, "And now what are you going to do?" The farmer stretched and took a big, long swig off of his sweet tea. I think he was in the South. Took a big, long swig of his glass of sweet tea, and he said, "Oh, nothing much. I'm just waiting for an earthquake to come along and shake the taters out of the ground." Listen. It's insignificance and comfort are the cause of us not getting busy and working. Some people just don't care that there's a great work to be done. Church, our apathy is killing us. Many who do not work criticize those who do. There are many loafers and not workers in our church. It is time to step up to the plate. You know, in doing some research, I saw this picture of a single ant dragging this dead grasshopper along, many times his own size, and he was struggling to drag this giant mill back to the colony. And it seemed amazing what this little fellow could do. But as I looked closer at this picture, I could see two more ants that were getting a free ride at the expense of their fellow ant. Listen, there's a lot of that going on in the church. Let me ask you, what have you done for Jesus lately? Again, like I prefaced the sermon this morning, it's not work-based, it's faith-based. But why do we do work? It's because of our faith in Christ and what He's done for us. So what have you done for Jesus lately? Are you just always taking it in and never pouring it out? I bet you I can have a youth on stage right now and talk about that wet sponge illustration that I always use with y'all. What do I talk about? When we're getting poured into on a weekly basis, a daily basis, whether it's here, your parents at home, whether it's here or in small groups on Sunday morning or maybe a Wednesday night class adults. And if we just take in and we take in and we take in, think of a sponge and you have a puddle up here or a puddle back there and there's a puddle and you put a sponge on it. It sucks that water up. That sponge gets waterlogged, doesn't it? And what good is it after that? Absolutely no good. So as Christians, as we take in and we take in and we take in and we grow and we learn more about the scriptures and we're equipped to go and serve places, we got to be in society squeezing that sponge out and wringing that sponge out into people's lives. That's what we need to be doing. So what have you done for Jesus lately? If the answer is not much or nothing, listen, come on. Join us in the work that God's called us to do. Become productive. Work continually in accordance to the God, to ways God has gifted you. And maybe some of you are sitting here today thinking, well, I don't know how God's gifted me. Well, listen, if you don't know, if you've never taken a spiritual gift survey or a spiritual gifts assessment, let me know. I can print some in no time. I have some in my office, okay? So if you don't know how you're gifted spiritually, let me know. We want to plug you into an area of our church that you're most effective. I think the time that we've had in years past here of just filling gaps, those times have to, look, we want you to serve where you feel it is the best fit for you. Okay? So if you need that spiritual gift survey, let me know. We'll figure out what's going on with you and how God has gifted you. You know, not only do ants work continually, the ants work is persistent. It's impossible to stop them when they find food. You don't believe me? Just think about this. Put a little dab of honey on your countertop, and when an ant finds that, it won't be long. He's called his little buddies on his cell phone, and next thing you know, you got 100 ants on your countertop. When he finds it, he returns to the colony and brings them back. The driver ant, I found the driver ant online. And what happens with him, when he comes to a stream, he simply tunnels under it and keeps going. When he comes to a river, listen, the entire colony of ant rolls itself into a giant ball and floats over to the other side. They let absolutely nothing stand in their way of progress. What a lesson for us all. If we have tasted and found that the Lord is good, shouldn't we go back into the colony of the world and tell others about Him? After all, believers are what? I've said it before. Believers are simply beggars trying to tell other beggars how to find a piece of bread. Ants keep going in times of danger. You know what the average Christian says? We can't. Some of you are sitting there and saying, I can't. You know what saying I can't cost Israel? 40 years in the wilderness. What could it cost you? This is what we need to do as a church family. This is what we need to do as individuals. We need to stop saying, I can't. And we need to change it to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us, our relationship with Christ, coming together unified and taking the world by storm. Insert mad applause there. The ants' work has purpose. When they're on a mission, there's no stopping them. Although, listen, if you watch them closely on the ground, it really looks like chaos, doesn't it? They're very organized. Each one knows their job and completes each task with excellence. Believers need the same resolve. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 15:58 says. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In everything we do, we need to walk with resolve. We need to purpose in our hearts that nothing short of death or the rapture will turn us away from working for Jesus Christ. And there's four areas that every church needs to take resolve in. First is our praying. We need to be prayer warriors for one another, our lost friends, our community, our state, the world. We also need to, in our giving. Look, the ants have a storehouse, so do we. We need to be praying with resolve that we are giving exactly what God wants us to give to be able to do ministry. Also, our witnessing. When is the last time that you absolutely got in a full gospel witness with somebody? When is the last time you even thought about it? And look, I'm in there. It's not easy for me, but we've got to go and we've got to do. And also serving. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. There are ways for you to serve in the church. You know, the ants are very wise. They make provisions for life. They're organized with the food and their shelter. Many anthills are organized like a modern city. There are streets and supply rooms, hatcheries and barracks. People should also be wise, okay, and prepare for today and for the life to come. I can't imagine what it was like, and it was years ago, walking without Jesus. My life is totally different. I look at everything different. Everything. And you're probably in that same boat. But listen, Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I lack. You know, we don't need many of the things that we think we need. Our greatest need is for a close, spirit-filled walk with God. We need Him and what He can give us more than anything that this world may offer. We need what we can get only get from the Word of God, from prayer, and from communion with the Spirit of God. You know, ants make preparations for the future, and I'm going to close. I'm through with the ant stuff, okay? Ants make preparations for the future, and so do we. You know, what ants do is they store all they can when they can. If you think about the grasshopper doesn't think that way. They make no preparations at all for the winter. So when the winter comes, they die. Ants, on the other hand, believe in winter, and by instinct, they prepare for it. Well, humans, we're like that as well. People prepare for this life, don't they? Most of you probably have savings. Most of you have insurance. Most of you have retirement. Well, what about death? Men believe in life after death, but do nothing about it. People need to be ready, and God has made a way, and His name is Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is the only life after death that is possible, eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I have a question. Lost person, are you ready? Not to be ready means eternal separation and eternal damnation in hell. Many delay and neglect. Judgment does neither. Listen to what it says in John 3, verse 18. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. A few verses later in John 3, it says this in verse 36. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. So Christians, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God? Romans 14 and verse 12, it tells us that all of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God. What have you done for Jesus lately? What have you done for Jesus lately? If you're going to do anything for Jesus, the time to do it is now. Why put something off till tomorrow if you can do it right now? If you're going to pray, if you're going to preach, if you're going to witness, if you're going to visit, if you need to go and make things right with your brother or sister in Christ, do it now. Anything at all. The time to do it is right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. The bottom line with all of this is that there is a great spiritual poverty to those who are in a spiritual slumber. In verses 10 and 11, it says this in Proverbs 6. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. If you're in a spiritual slumber right now, wake up, friend. Wake up. The time is now. Listen to what Paul told the Roman believers in Romans 13. Besides this, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the daylight is near, so let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So I would like to think that we're at least as wise as the ant, aren't we? They prep and they prepare. Have we prepped and have we prepared? Are we serving? I want to close with four questions that I want you to ask yourself. Have I made any preparations for the future? Am I saved? And am I ready to meet Jesus? Question number two. Am I in fellowship with the rest of members of this church? Maybe there's somebody that you need to get right with. Maybe there's somebody that you need to go to and speak with because of a difference. Am I doing the job Jesus saved me to do? Are you really, truly, honestly, and only you know this and the Lord knows this, are you using the gifts that God has given you? If not, shame on you. What a waste. Because we need you. Get in the game. And lastly, am I laboring for Jesus, knowing that my life is no longer my own, but it is to further the kingdom of God? Let's pray. This is the invitation this morning. Listen, maybe you're in here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe something about the ants or something that came out of my mouth made sense to you. Maybe today's the day that you have the desire. God has put that desire in your heart to come into fellowship with him. Maybe you're lost today and you need to come down and just talk to somebody about that. We'll be here. Maybe today you've been wrestling over whether to join the church and you've been visiting for a while and today's the day. Come on down, we're here. Maybe there's something that we can pray for you about. Even greater, maybe there's somebody across the pew from you or around the other side of the sanctuary that you need to go and talk to. Just use this time of invitation to do business with others and with the Lord. God, we love you. Thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for the illustrations in the Bible. God, give us a desire to work like ants. God, give us a desire to trust you. And God, get in tune with you to figure out how you have gifted us. God, give us a desire to get busy leading the lost to a Savior, helping those in need, helping this church go to the next level in this community, this state, and the world. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.